for fishermen. Would you give us the status of the bill now?
Very quickly, John, the bill has passed the House side by a 76-54 margin, and nothing will happen now until the bill should pass through the Senate side, and it's just at the very beginning of that passage now. There are opportunities to stop it. We're working on it very diligently now with a massive telephone letter writing campaign. I would say that the chances are pretty good, but we're working on it. We're trying hard.
And the studies that were made last year showed that it was not needed in Minnesota or anyplace else for that matter. I have tried to reach Glenn Sherwood, Representative Sherwood, and he won't talk to me for some reason or other. He's never available. So I don't know. I'm trying to get his side of it, but he won't talk to us.
Well, the nature of the bill right at the moment, John, is that a lot of controversy up here in Minnesota, because the bill, as it's written on the House side, would ban all depth sounders, not just graphs, but all depth sounders, even lead weights, if you will.
Well, there, just what is it that he has against the graph? What's he trying to do? Is he trying to put somebody out of business, or it doesn't affect the fishing that much?
No, it doesn't. The tests prove that, but apparently it's philosophical. He feels that we've become too sophisticated, and one man's opinion he thinks should prevail if this is where they draw the line.
Hadn't he talked to any of the resort owners in northern Minnesota where about 80% of their money comes from recreation, and that would sure cut into that if they did this?
Apparently not, John, because there isn't much support that we've been able to find from resorters for banning this type of equipment, or obviously banning any type of equipment.
All right, thank you very much, John Aldrich. Enjoy the great outdoors. I'm John T. Kiss.
Hi, Carmelita Pope for Magicist. If you haven't called Magicist in over a year, now is the time to make a clean break with dingy, soiled carpets and rugs. Magicist expertly cleans carpeting right in your home or office, or call for pickup and delivery of your rugs and drapes. You can even save 20% for cash and carry. So if convenient, drop your rugs and drapes off at Magicist and save. With any order, you'll receive 3 cans of new Super Soft Kitchen Cleanser, the matchless, scratchless wonder that thoroughly cleans without scratching all modern surfaces, including Teflon. Make a clean break. Call now and get your 3 cans of Super Soft Kitchen Cleanser at no extra charge. Bank cards welcome. And Magicist sells rugs, too. Chicago phones 378-8600. Suburbs see the white pages.
Take a good look at your carpets, Kenilworth. Other people do. Call Magicist. Tonight's weather in Chicago, fair and colder with a low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high in the low 50s. Down to the mid-30s on Wednesday night, and Thursday, partly sunny and warmer. At Midway, it's 48 degrees, 47 at O'Hare Field, and 52 on the lakefront. Wind from the west at 15 miles an hour. The humidity's 52%.
News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
It's not too early to consider expanding your tool selection to Metric. And True Value Hardware stores now offer an 11-piece True Test Metric socket set for just $14.95. Metric is not just a measure of the future. It's with us today. If you own a foreign car, motorcycle, or bicycle, you'll need it now. In the future, your Metric socket set may be the only socket set you use. The True Test 11-piece set includes a reversible 3/8-inch drive ratchet, 9 sockets from 8 millimeters to 19 millimeters, and a case, all for just $14.95. Do yourself another good turn at True Value Hardware stores. Get a True Test 5-piece combination wrench set, ranging from 3/8-inch to 5/8-inch, or an open-end 5-piece wrench set with 10 working ends from 1/4-inch to 3/4 inch. Both just $5.99 a set. No matter where you live, you will find a True Value Hardware store nearby to serve you.
It's just a name. It's a way of doing business that means True Value.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. This tale isn't for the easily scared or the faint of heart. It's a full-blooded ghost story and introduces once again that intrepid voyager into the unknown seas of the supernatural and the occult, who always manages to return with a pragmatic explanation of what seems to be the inexplicable, Mr. Flaxman Lowe.
Now, my dear Gigi, you must show me this haunted house.
It's raining too hard to go there now, Uncle Flaxman. But look out the window. There it is. Even in the rain, it's lovely. So peaceful and sort of beckoning by day. But I'm afraid that some terrible, malign, dreadful ghost lurks there by night that kills and kills to keep it for its own.
Well, if there is, my dear, then we must exorcise it. But first, we must find out what it is.
Our mystery drama, The Shining Man, was based on the short story by E. and H. Herron and written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin, and stars Bob Caliban and Morgan Fairchild. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and General Electric Citizen Band Radios. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It is a magic moment. You are at your Buick dealer's, about to drive home in your brand new Buick LeSabre. It's lean and trim, classic lines. It looks quite unlike any full-size Buick you can remember. You get in. A heady new car smell surrounds you. Your LeSabre feels the way it looks, tight. You turn the wheel a little. No wasted motion in this car. Big brushed metallic gauges look back at you. That V6 engine is doing great. You rub your hand on the seat. Six people could be really comfortable in here. You swing into your driveway. Your wife, the kids, the dog, everyone with a parakeet descends in the car and gets in. Off you go to nowhere in particular. Life and your new LeSabre are great. Maybe the dog shouldn't sit on the seats.
Down the road to The Wiz, America's hit musical version of the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Don't you miss the fun, the funk, the fantasy of The Wiz. Live on stage at the Schubert Theater, Monroe at State Street. Tickets available at the box office and all Ticketron outlets. Or reserve tickets by phone. Call 236-8240. 236-8240. The Wiz is a wow.
You have two choices to see The Wiz tomorrow at 2 and 8 p.m. Tickets are available at the box office for both shows. The Wiz at the Schubert. You don't want to miss it.
I don't know about you, but to me, it seems a pity that haunted houses have gone out of style. Perhaps it has to do with the uncompromising utilitarianism of modern houses. After all, what self-respecting ghost would feel at home without a turret room, a sliding panel or two, and a host of shadowed, twisted corners? So to enjoy our story, let's retrace our steps back to the turn of the century, when walls were wainscoted, ceilings were high and ornate, and the clanking of chains and groans from the grave were enhanced instead of smothered by insulation and acoustic tile.
Oh, I hope he's on this train, Uncle Flax. He was due last night, and he wasn't on the morning train.
Well, whatever held him up, it must have been a very important something indeed to keep my nephew Donald away from your side for so long.
Oh, it doesn't matter anymore. There he is. Don?
Oh, darling Gigi. It's been 1,000 years.
A million without you. Was the trip worth leaving me abandoned here in London?
Oh, just wait till you hear. Hello, Uncle.
Hello, Don. Did you take the position?
I did. You are now looking at the brand new headmaster of the Girvan Academy for Boys. Not only that, but I found us a house.
Oh, I knew the trip would be worthwhile. I just knew it.
Congratulations, my boy.
Oh, I must talk to you about the house, too, Uncle Flax.
Oh, there's time enough for that at home tonight. Now, it's a matter of finances.
No, nothing to do with that. I'll explain later.
Well, whatever it is, you know you can count on me.
My name is Don Campbell. I'm of Scottish and English descent, but I was educated in Canada and America, where I met and married my wife. Gigi was an orphan, like me. And in 1900, being at that time unemployed, we were overjoyed to accept an invitation from my only relative, Mr. Flaxman Lowe, to visit him in London. While there, I suspect through my uncle's pulling a few strings, I had been offered an interview for a job as headmaster of Girvan Academy in Scotland.
The job sounds marvelous, Don. But I know you. Why do you keep avoiding talking about the house?
But that's marvelous, too.
Well, do we need a house? Surely it couldn't have been too difficult to rent something furnished.
But the house is furnished, too. And Gigi, I mean, it was too good a thing to pass up. The bargain of all time.
Well, what sort of bargain? What sort of house?
Well, it's kind of hard to describe. I mean, it's really stunning. High on a ridge. And the view is stupendous. Connor Old House, it's called. When you look at it from outside, you'll fall in love with it just as I did.
And the inside?
Oh, it's been empty for quite a few years. And, well, there's work to be done there. I've already arranged with the agent to hire a man to clean it up. And the price includes the furniture.
Don, are you trying to tell me you've bought this house without my ever even seeing it?
Well, not exactly bought. Just a down payment. Oh, but, darling, I tell you, it was such an incredible bargain.
Why is this house such an incredible bargain?
Well, I suppose because it's supposed to be haunted.
Oh, that's great.
Well, Gigi, I couldn't pass up an absolute steal like this. I can't describe to you how lovely Connor Old House is. Clothed in ivy, on the highest hill within its horizon, with the green grass tumbling down to the cliffs and the dunes and the endless sea beyond.
And the ghosts you spoke of?
Oh, local superstition. And if they bother us by groaning and clanking about, well, there's always Uncle Flax. As a parapsychologist, they're his life work. And he can blow them away just like the mists.
Are you so sure?
Brandy, Uncle Flax?
Yes, thank you. You're not joining me?
No, thanks. I only got you away from Gigi so I'd have a chance to talk to you about the house.
All right. What's troubling you?
The house is supposed to be haunted.
By whom?
What they call the Shining Man.
The Shining Man?
Uh-huh.
What does that mean?
Oh, a lot of talk, gibberish, but I honestly don't know. I think a trick of the moon on the windows reflecting, something like that.
I see. Who was the former owner?
Sir James Mackay, who had retired from abroad, Central Africa, I think. He lived there with his daughter and a gigantic black who apparently was devoted to him for saving his life in Africa.
Why did they leave?
Well, they didn't. The daughter, it seemed, had contracted some virulent disease from her African sojourn, and she died while her father was on some business in London.
Mm. And the father?
The shock of finding his daughter dead on his return was too great for him, and he settled into a sort of melancholy and eventually died.
It's not a very pretty history. What happened to the slave?
Slave?
Yes, the black man.
Well, I didn't say he was a slave.
Oh, yes, that's right, you didn't. What happened to him, anyway?
Oh, I don't know. Let me see. In the local gossip, there was something about Sir James accusing him of being responsible for the girl's death, but, well, it never came to anything because the black had disappeared, and Not long after, Sir James was found on the living room couch, dead of apoplexy. His face covered with horrible livid patches.
And this is the home to which you expect to take that pretty young American wife of yours?
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Uncle Flaxman. The tragedies of others have nothing to do with us. A house is not a person. It can't affect us. And even if there are any malign influence hovering around, well, I have the best protection in the world, don't I?
Oh, yes? What is that?
You. Aren't you the foremost ghost detective in the world? If we run into trouble, can't I coax you to tilt a couple of tables or at least exorcise any demons if they're wandering about?
My dear boy, you know I am always at your service, but I wouldn't joke about the unknown, Don. Why this house instead of any other?
Because it's the only one I can afford. And I've already made a down payment. So, there we were, Gigi and I, with all our worldly belongings off for Scotland as soon as we could pack. Of course, I should have stopped to write first and waited for a reply, but that isn't my way. I had made a decision. Why waste time? Especially since London was expensive and almost all my money had gone for the payment on the house. And it would be a month before I could expect my salary at the academy to begin. We had to take the train north to Ayr, and then debark and retrace our steps south some 30 miles to Girvan, the nearest town to what I now thought of our home. It was a good 25 miles by road, and it was after dark on a blustery, drizzly evening when we arrived at Lanark Inn, where I had stayed before. Happily, the landlord remembered me and had accommodations.
Hey, hello there, Mr. Campbell. It's good to see you again. Will you be staying?
Oh, just for a night or so, Mr. McTavish, with my wife.
We'll bid you good welcome, too, Mrs. Campbell. Oh, but you're a bonny lass, and I can't blame Mr. Campbell for making you his own. But you look a wee bit chill. Now, come on, Ben, and you'll warm yourself by the fire, the two of you.
Mr. McTavish was as good as his word. Not only did he have a fire, but he had some warming beer, and with it, some heavenly steak and kidney pie.
So, what brings you back to Girvan, Mr. Campbell?
Oh, I'm back to stay, Mr. McTavish.
All right. And where would that be?
At our new home. I'm going to buy Connor Oldhouse.
You are.
Oh, my husband can't wait to take possession. If it had been daylight, he'd have moved right in.
I'd move in right now if I were sure it had been aired and cleaned thoroughly. Mr. Niven, the agent, wouldn't still be around town, would he?
Oh, no, he's away home long before twilight. He lives quite far down the road.
Oh, well, I'd rather see the house by daylight first anyway. We can move in tomorrow.
No, I wouldn't haste too much till, till you've had a word with Tommy Niven.
Well, of course, we have to see him first. I'll be up at the crack of dawn waiting in his office till he comes in.
Well, I don't think in the morning he'll be by. He'll be over to Contrere, I would think, to the funeral.
What funeral?
Well, you see, it was this lad he engaged from the village here to clean up Connor Oldhouse.
Yes, I commissioned him to do that. What about him?
Well, it's not all that easy to get folks hereabouts to go near Connor Oldhouse, even in the daylight, after all that's happened there.
You mean Sir James and his daughter and their unfortunate deaths?
Aye, and then over all that, there's the...
The Shining Man?
Aye, him. Oh, and in front of the lady, I didn't want to...
Oh, that's quite all right, Mr. McTavish. Don has told me all about the history of the house. It's sort of exciting, but, well, I don't really believe in ghosts. I'm not scared.
That's my wife.
Hey, I don't know but what I'd be a wee bit canny if I were in your shoes. It wasn't only the doctor and his daughter. But there was what happened to the tinker as well, and poor Slow Jock.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Who's the tinker?
And who's poor Slow Jock?
Well, here, one at a time. The tinker was a nobody, a tramp, or a bum, I think you'd be calling him in the States. And a couple of years back, he moved himself in. It looked to me as if he lived in the kitchen, quite comfortable and happy for a few days. But then he moved into the library and... And they found him on the library couch. Sir James's couch, that was. Stark, raving mad and at death's door, and his face all over with great black marks like he'd been in a peat bog.
Oh, he just had a dirty face. He probably got caught in the rain and went into Connor Old House for shelter and died quietly of pneumonia.
Raving? With the DTs, just like poor Jock?
What happened to him?
Oh, only the good Lord could maybe answer that. But he was just like the tinker, lying on the couch. Only he was dead. Oh, and an expression on his face only old Clootie himself could have written there.
Old Clootie?
The devil. Well, don't tell me Jock's face was blackened, too.
Just like the others. Oh, here. Now, I hope I'm not upsetting you.
Oh, no, nothing of the sort. Just the right thing to make us sleep like tops.
Well, the toddy should take care of that. But, I just thought you ought to be warned.
Come to bed, Don. Why are you watching out the window?
Nothing. It's started to rain. Typical Scottish drizzle.
You think there's going to be a storm?
No, I don't.
What is it? Don, what did you see?
I didn't see anything. Go back to bed, Gigi.
Don, you're looking towards our house, aren't you? Connor House, I mean.
Yeah, yes, I... Well, I mean, that's the general direction, but it's...
I see it. I see what you saw.
What?
A light. Glimmering like a huge June bug, only it's shaped like a man. Oh, dear Lord, it is haunted, just as the innkeeper said. Look, Don, look, it's the shining man.
Now, wouldn't you say that's a fair beginning for a story of a haunted house? What is it that Gigi has seen, or thinks she saw? Some trick of refraction of the light from the inn windows against the misting drizzle of the rain? Or a real light carried by a real person who has no business in Connor Old House? I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Sally, Bobby, welcome home.
We couldn't spend the holidays away from home.
Welcome home, children. Welcome home.
Mom and Dad, meet your new grandson, Daniel.
He looks just like you, Sally.
He has her nose, but I think he has Bobby's eyes. Now, come on, let's sit down.
Oh, look, I knew there'd be Mogan David wine on the table. Nothing's changed.
I'll pour everyone a glass.
Mogan David. Whenever I see the name, it always makes me think about home. I remember it on the holidays and on the dinner table when I was little.
See, Daniel, this is where your mommy grew up.
I want to make the first toast. To Daniel, the most beautiful grandson in the world. He smiled at me.
Ah, sweet, sweet memories. The family back together again. The holidays. How a glass of Mogan David wine brings back all the precious memories. No wonder for a lot of people, Mogan David means home. Sweet home.
Daniel, Daniel, welcome home.
Mogan David Wine Corporation, Chicago, Illinois.
Fill her up, Mrs. Austin.
Eugene, I think I need new shock absorbers.
Have I got a shock for you, Mrs. Austin? The shocks that conquered Mount Kilimanjaro. Only shocks we carry. In fact, these are the shocks I use in my own personal car.
That car, Eugene?
Right.
The one with the big numbers on the side.
You got it.
And the wing on the back?
Right.
Well, why don't we just fill her up, Eugene? I'll have to think about those shock absorbers.
You can get shock absorbers anywhere these days. But at Midas, you also get a shock specialist. He tells you whether you really need shocks at all. And if you do, he can choose from any one of our five heavy-duty Midas shocks to make sure you get the right shock for your car and the way you drive. When you need shocks, you need us. Midas, the shock specialist. We have to do a better job.
Buy a Midas muffler, muffler and cap set for $4.95, and Midas will donate $1 to Easter Seals. You'll feel warm all over helping Easter Seals.
fairies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night. Good Lord, deliver us. An old Scottish saying, and one that shivered through Gigi's mind that night, trickling in icy waves down her spine, till at last dawn coaxed her to sleep. But with the coming of morning, all the night fears seemed ridiculous, particularly in the face of Thomas Niven's cheerful scorn. The real estate agent was a giant of a man, an all-Scotland rugby player who boomed and beamed and bubbled with good cheer.
Oh, peck of tommyrot, the whole thing. Old wives' tales and gossips gabbling, eh? That tramp was sheer coincidence, and Sir James and his daughter, well, that was tragedy, if you will, but nothing supernatural about it.
Well, what about this boy, Jock, Mr. Niven?
Oh, yes, well, Jock. Now, there I do blame myself, Mr. Campbell. I should have realized that the boy wasn't up to the job. Never send a boy on a man's errand.
Was he really so young?
Not in years, Mrs. Campbell. A man grown, in body, that is. But he was a touch, not quite right in the head. Mark you, that would never have interfered with the clean-up job. It was just the sort of thing for him under ordinary circumstances. And he and his mother could always use the money.
You say ordinary circumstances. I thought you were telling us that there's nothing extraordinary about...
About Connor Oldhouse? No, I don't believe there is.
Well, then what caused the poor fellow's death?
Oh, I don't know, Mrs. Campbell.
It couldn't have been the shining man, could it?
Oh, good heavens. They've gotten to you with that old gibberish, have they? Well, whatever you've heard, forget it. There is no such thing.
I'm afraid there is.
What?
I saw it.
We both saw it. Last night.
Where?
Well, he seemed to be in Connor Oldhouse.
Oh, and you were looking from the village?
From our window at the inn, yes.
And this would be after dark?
Yes.
Oh, yes, well, I've seen that myself. Whenever it's misting very heavily. That was no ghost you saw, Mr. and Mrs. Campbell. That was Ignis Fatuus, Friar's Lanthorn, if you wish.
What?
What we call will-o'-the-wisp, honey. Caused by swamp gas, I think.
Yes, just the way of it. Sulfurated hydrogen, actually, rising from rotting vegetation and such, and spontaneously ignited in spite of the damp, so that it glows in the dark.
Well, you think that's what the boy saw and that it frightened him to death?
Oh, yes, very like.
What did the doctors say caused his death?
Sheer physical fright, acting on an already faulty brain. Oh, I say hello. That's overdue. It's been on the way for a couple of days. I'm afraid we're in for a bit of bad weather. Shouldn't bother you too much, though, since I'm sorry to say the house isn't ready to receive you as yet. I haven't been able to find anyone else to get over there.
Mr. Niven, before we take any further action, perhaps I should let my wife see the property.
Well, now, look, you're not thinking of backing out on me, man. Great heavens, you have the bargain of the century in that house.
What I'm beginning to wonder is, why?
Oh, I can tell you that. Idle tongue, sheer and simple. How I picked it up myself.
You mean the house is yours? Well, you didn't tell me that, Don.
I didn't know, dear. I thought Mr. Niven was only acting as an agent for the original owner.
Oh, well, you see, actually, I bought it from Sir James' estate for my grandmother and put it in her name before she died. Never had a chance to move in. So it has stood empty the last few years. I will say, however, that if you're considering backing out on the sale, in my opinion, you'd be a fool, young man.
Well, it isn't the house, Mr. Niven. It's its reputation.
Well, then, Mrs. Campbell, I tell you what I'll do. I do feel a little put out that I didn't have it ready for you, as I promised you and your husband. So, as soon as the rain lets up, since I can't find anyone else, I'll go out and clean the house myself.
Well, I shouldn't think a man would want...
Oh, my dear girl, I'm a sailor, and you've only to look at my boat to see what a first-class housekeeper I am. I promise you she'll be shining like a new pin. Not only that, but I'll want to set your mind at rest. I'll spend the night there, too, and show you there isn't a single solitary thing to fear in Connor Oldhouse.
I will admit that I had misgivings. I'd even partially allayed them by sending a wire that morning before we had gone to Mr. Niven's office, asking my Uncle Flaxman to come up to Girvan, post-haste, by the next train. But Mr. Niven was so obviously physically powerful that I pushed them aside. If I had known the terror that awaited him and us, I would never... But that is only hindsight. In no time, it was the afternoon of the next day, and Uncle Flax had arrived, and we were briefing him on all that happened in the tap room.
Oh, dear, 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 dear. Just listen to that rain. It's pity. I'm really very anxious to have a look at this strange house of yours.
You don't think it really can be haunted, do you? I mean, you can prove it isn't, can't you?
Well, I don't know, Gigi. It may very well be.
But I thought you were a ghost detective. I mean, an investigator who proved that they were fakes. All your famous cases...
Oh, not all, my dear. Most, perhaps, but certainly not all.
Are you trying to tell me that there really are such things as ghosts?
I think there is such a thing as the human soul, dear girl. A spirit that has its own life independent of the body. I've seen too much evidence of it in my investigations not to believe in it. But it does not necessarily follow that there is some lost soul haunting Connor Oldhouse.
I don't know. Now you're really beginning to scare me. I'm really afraid, terribly afraid, that there's some awful, malign, dreadful thing that lurks there by night that doesn't want anyone disturbing it, that kills to keep it for its own.
Well, if there is, my dear, then we must exorcise it. But first, we must find out what it is.
In spite of the weather, we would have tried to go over to Connor Oldhouse that afternoon, but the driver refused to take his horse out again in that torrential rain. And by the time the rain had slacked off, it was too late, for the long Scottish twilight was beginning to fall. Gigi was lying down before supper when I came downstairs to find my uncle gazing out the window through the peculiar half-light.
Donald, come here.
Yes, Uncle.
Over toward the house, you see there? That light patch in the darkness?
Where?
Framed by the house, as though it came from one of the windows.
Yes. Yes, I see it.
The darker it gets, the more that light glows. It seems to be taking on shape. Is that what you saw last night?
Yes, I think so, but could that be a candle or lamplight from the house?
No, the color is wrong. It's not soft and yellow, and there's no flicker. Just a steady blue efflorescence.
You think it might be Will-o'-the-Wisp?
No, it's too steady. Hello. There goes some lamplight. Moving from room to room, it seems.
And the other glow is gone.
It doesn't like the real light, it would seem.
What do you think, Uncle?
Without any facts to go on, very little. I only wonder. But I do know three things.
What, sir?
First, that it is too dark for us to venture out there tonight. Second, that when we do, we will not take Gigi with us. And third, we had better leave tomorrow at crack of dawn.
With the first rays of light, and with Gigi still fast asleep, we were off by carriage for the long drive to the ridge. When we pulled up in the cobblestone yard in front of Connor Oldhouse, it was as silent as a tomb. Only the gulls screaming out to sea.
Could your Mr. Niven have left already? Do you suppose he'd missed him?
Well, I don't see how. He came out here by carriage, so... Well, he'd have had to use the road. We'd have passed him. Well, came from the stables. He must still be there.
That horse sounds frightened. Come along, Don. You've been in the house before. Now, you take it. I'll take the stables.
He left me. I hurried up the stairs of the porte cochere, and after testing the handle, swung open the heavy hall door. The gloom of the wet dawning and the heavy smell of stagnant air filled the great hall as I looked around its dreary emptiness. The silence inside the house was oppressive. I called Mr. Niven's name, but the noise only echoed through the house, jarring on the stillness. I walked almost timidly to the middle of the hall, my footsteps silent on the carpet of accumulated layer upon layer of dust. Wherever Niven had been cleaning, he certainly hadn't started here. I felt a wave of panic spiral up from my stomach, and I called his name again. Mr. Niven? Mr. Niven!
Don. It's all right. It's all right. It's only me. There's no sign of him here.
No. You didn't find anything at the stable?
Oh, just a poor horse bathed in a lather of sweat, shying at the blink of an eye. Something's happened to scare him, but not in the stable.
Or here, it seems. I don't see how Niven can be in this house.
Oh, why?
Well, you can see the dust everywhere. And my footsteps. No sign of any others.
He's here in this house.
How do you know?
I can sense it, and the vibrations are bad. Come, which way are the living quarters?
This way.
Including the library?
Right through this door. It seems to be stuck. Oh, there.
Good Lord. Oh, that smell.
The smell of death. Let me pass.
No, Uncle. No, don't.
Come, help me. I've found your Mr. Niven, I think.
Oh.
Is this he?
Yes. Is he dead?
No, I don't think so, but we've got to get him out of here and home before he is.
What happened to him?
I don't know, but whatever it was, he was trying to run from it when he fell against the inside of the door. Come, my boy, if we're to save his life, we must get him out of here.
I hope you're not listening to this alone. Not that I want to scare you. Yet. After all, we still have no idea what else was inside that room that drove a strong, healthy athlete in the prime of life to the edge of death, do we? For that matter, we don't even know if it is still here. I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
I, Howard Cosell, who can discourse so brilliantly on most subjects, admit I know nothing about CB radio. Well, neither do most people. So for everyone with questions, I interrogate a General Electric. Their answers disclose why GE is expert in CB. Listen to the words of Jack Dullmeyer, GE CB product manager. Jack, honestly, is there any real difference between other CBs and yours?
Many, Howard. For instance, very few manufacturers have a channel priority feature.
Translate, please.
Well, say you've got a base station at home and your wife transmits on channel 33. You want to monitor 33, but don't want to stay tuned to it. With this feature, you can be on any channel you want, and if 33 is activated, it automatically cuts in.
Impressive, Jack. A major advantage. The channel priority feature. Another reason to buy GE CB. This is Howard Cosell saying GE. That's more than you can say about any other CB.
This is WBBM Chicago. Believe it or not, summer is on its way. Some of the flowers will be blooming come April, believe it or not. And you'll be walking around without a heavy coat. That may not seem uncomfortable after the cold, cold weather, but it can get muggy and uncomfortable this summer. So why not look into buying a Bryant Quietline Deluxe Central Air Conditioning System? It's the right time to buy Bryant. So call Bartlett Heating and Air Conditioning in Mount Prospect at 253-2770. He's got the right price. That's Bryant Air Conditioning, the unit that saves you more money because it has the lowest EER rating. It could save enough money to pay for your Bryant Quietline Deluxe in 5 years, believe it or not. So call Bartlett Heating and Air Conditioning at 253-2770. That's 253-2770.
Was brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jujubird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. I mention this quote from Lewis Carroll not because it means anything, which it doesn't, but because it suggests evil incarnate and crawling things calculated to send a shudder to the roots.
The indescribable, fetid odor from that haunted room was so stifling and smothering that it almost overpowered my Uncle Flax and me as we struggled to carry the big, heavy, inert body of Niven from the room. We half-dragged him through the door to the relief of fresh air and the carriage outside. How is he, Uncle?
In a rather bad way. He needs medical attention as soon as possible.
Hey, giddy up! Giddy up! Come on!
You think he was scared to death? Like the poor guy he sent up to clean the house before?
Not to death, since he's still alive, but something has given him a shock, all right. A profound shock.
Something? You mean the place is haunted?
I didn't say that.
But you meant it.
Perhaps, in a sense.
What do you mean, a sense? When we opened the door and that awful stench poured out, you said it was the smell of death.
It's a figure of speech. But I'm afraid only time will tell. Now, hurry now. Get back to the inn.
Mr. McTavish, what's going on? Where is my husband?
Oh, he's scrubbing from top to toe with lye soap, as Mr. Lowe himself did first.
And my uncle?
Well, after he carried all the clothes out and started them burning, he went back to the bedside of Mr. Niven.
Burn the clothes? Well, what was the matter with the clothes?
Oh, I don't know. Contaminated somehow from that evil house of warlocks and ghoulies.
Dom, darling, are you all right?
Well, I feel a little as if I'd been skinned alive. Otherwise, yes,
what
fine.
What do you mean, skinned alive?
Well, the scrubbing and that strong laundry soap.
Is that all? Oh, can I touch you now?
Oh, darling, I want you to hold me and never let me go.
Oh. Now tell me what happened. What about our house?
Our house? Now, I wish the damn thing had burned to the ground before I ever saw it. That's what I wish had happened.
Mr. Niven, you think you can tell me the rest of what happened now that you're feeling a little better?
Well, I could try, but I didn't know. Where was I? Who did you say you were?
My name is Flaxman Lowe. Now, you started cleaning the back of the house, the kitchen, the dining room, the pantry, the living room, so on, eh?
Yes, it was daytime, but I got there later than I'd hoped.
I understand. So, suddenly, night was upon you, and you lit a lamp, eh?
Yes.
So, after you lit the lamp, you went into the library, right?
Yes. I went in. That awful smell hit me and turned me sick to the pit of my stomach. I must have passed out.
How do you suppose you got to the door where we found you?
I woke up again, and the lamp had gone out, but there was this ghastly light. I don't want to remember the damned house. Why didn't I burn it the day I bought it?
And when he came to, Mr. Niven told me the lamp had gone out, but suddenly he was aware that the darkness was clearing. A feeble light was filtering down through it from above. He looked up at the ceiling and saw there an irregular patch of pale phosphorescent luminescence which grew gradually brighter and brighter.
The Shining Man.
And he had the impression that through the radiance above, someone was looking down on him. And through the thickening atmosphere of drowsy horror, choking and revolted by the growing odor, he looked up again.
To see what?
To see the brightness dim and dark smears show through it, all running together into something that swelled out and downward like a fat, green, white, evil face from which great drops of black dripping fluids fell like rain.
Oh, good Lord.
And suddenly, fear and loathing broke his chains enough for him to run to the door, where he plunged forward into a dark red vacancy to remember no more.
So the place is haunted. By whom and why?
Yes, Uncle, why? And who is the Shining Man? Why does his ghost haunt Connor Oldhouse?
I can only answer two of those questions.
Which?
I mean, I can guess the answers. Who it is and that he is no ghost. As to proving it and the why, that will have to wait until tomorrow. So, here we are again, back at the library.
Yeah, at least it smells a little better today.
Nevertheless, put your handkerchief over your mouth and nose, as I'm doing, before we enter it. Now, come over to the couch.
Why the handkerchiefs?
Oh, it's simply that I believe the dust in this room to be poisonous. Niven inhaled too much of it, hence his condition. It is literally piled up around the couch here.
Uncle, look. Above on the ceiling, a long discolored stain. You see that?
Yes. So I should have expected. I think that explains everything.
A blood stain on the ceiling explains everything? What do you mean? Oh, wait a minute. Look.
What?
You see those tracks? A cat has been walking over this sofa. Can you explain that? And what do you mean about the blood stain?
My dear boy, the stain on the ceiling has nothing to do with blood. It is simply a patch of mold and fungus. As for what you call cat's footsteps, look at them more carefully and you will see they look more like raindrops.
Raindrops? In a perfectly watertight room where the dust is so dry, the slightest movement makes it rise like smoke?
Ah, the dust. When we came to fetch Niven, I noticed how green and fine it was and how enormous an accumulation of it there was in this room. Why? Because this dust is like the powder in a puffball formed of minute spores.
And that's why it's poisonous?
Well, I have no doubt that from this dust, as we shall call it, within a few days a specimen of fungus could be cultivated, which would prove to be African in origin.
But if the dust is so dangerous, aren't we running the risk of...
Well, not if we don't inhale too much. And last night, incidentally, I saw that Niven's coat was covered with it, and that above the collar and along the upper part of the sleeve, as though they had dropped from above, was a spatter of gummy marks which corresponded to these so-called raindrops.
What else would you call them?
Oh, drops from the stain on the ceiling, caused by the unnamed fungus I mentioned, which decays as it matures, liquefying into a dark mucilage which drops down, diffusing a repulsive smell, which disappears as it dries and leaves only the dust of the spores. And those raindrops are most certainly what killed the boy, the tinker, and Sir James and his daughter.
How?
Well, I would guess that the fungus is singularly malignant, acting through the skin to the brain, then interpenetrating all the tissues of the body with terrible rapidity, and causing a violent and horrible death.
Which Mr. Niven escaped because the drops touched only his clothing and not his skin.
Exactly.
Ah, oh, I see. But what about the light? The ghost must have caused all this.
Why don't we go upstairs and perhaps we can find out.
Look, Uncle. Look. The light.
Yes, son, I see it.
Now it's gone. It just quivered for a moment as though...
Where would you say it came from?
From that dark end of the hall.
Between those two doors? Yes, that's where I saw it.
But where could it have gone to?
What actually come from? Which room? You take the left, I'll take the right.
We searched both of the rooms with a fine-tooth comb, but there was no sign of anything. Then Uncle Flaxman had a brilliant idea. We paced off the width of each room inside, then the total yardage outside in the hall. Between the rooms was a common wall which must, by our measurements, be some 3 feet wide, but no door in either to a closet. In the hall, we looked at the seemingly solid wall between the doors. Then Uncle Flaxman said...
Close your room door while I close mine, Don.
Right, Uncle.
Now that it's shadowed again in here, back up toward the stairwell. Ah, you see that?
A glimmer of light as though it were behind the solid wall.
Which means the wall can't be solid. Come here. Hello.
Well, there must be some sort of secret room or closet there. Let me see.
Uncle!
What is it?
There's some sort of a catch here to the upper panel.
Probably a means of opening it to ventilate the space between the walls. Try it, my boy, try it.
I have it. Oh, that smell again.
Ah, and look.
Good Lord. What is it?
I fancy it is the body of the missing black man who was supposed to have worshipped his master and his mistress.
Black? But he's white. What's that shining white stuff all over him?
A fungus? The fungus. The shining man, whose phosphorescent glow on damp evenings sometimes shone through the little window at the end of the closet and scared everyone in the countryside half to death. Not a ghost, but just a poor man who met a terrible death in a coffin of his own making.
How horrible. Oh, Don, how horrible. Who was he, anyway?
Sir James Mackay's faithful servant.
Ah, but remember, I said slave, and I think not so faithful.
What do you mean, Uncle?
I have always intended to devote myself to the study of Obeah.
Obeah? What is that?
Voodoo. A fetish-worshipping religion of sorcery and conjuration. In the dead man's hands were the remains of two crude figures, a man and a woman, coated with the fungus.
You mean he was responsible for the deaths of Sir James and his daughter?
Or for wishing his gods to take vengeance on them for the virtual slavery in which he had been held all his life. Poetic irony, isn't it, that the monster he called into being in the end was the means of his own destruction?
Oh, that house. I could never live in it now.
Don't worry, darling. We never will. What should be done about it, Uncle?
It should be burnt to ashes, just as we did our clothes. It's the only way the spirit of evil will ever be exorcised from Connor Oldhouse.
That same night, Connor Oldhouse went up in a pillar of smoke, its funeral pyre lighting the Scottish night. Interesting that earlier that same evening, Mr. Niven, now recovered, had left the inn for his home. Don Campbell had ridden alone to the post office for a letter which didn't arrive, and Mr. Lowe had gone for a long ramble to blow the cobwebs away, as he said. But who or what caused the fire, no one will ever know. I'll be back shortly.
Being in show business, I know opportunity never knocks twice. So listen to me, Debbie Reynolds, and hurry down to the Singer Sale Too Big to Miss, where you'll find your favorite sewing machine at unbelievably low prices, like the Fashion Mate Zigzag machine with a front drop-in bobbin that's easy to see and a snap to replace. It's only $129.95, including cabinet. The big sale at Singer. It's one opportunity you can't afford to miss.
Prices optional at participating dealers.
This is Polly Bergen. I recently witnessed a demonstration of cardiovascular pulmonary resuscitation, CPR. The American Heart Association wants everybody to learn CPR. It only takes a few hours to do so. If most of us know CPR, thousands of lives may be saved each year. Won't you call the American Heart Association and ask about CPR? Support your American Heart Association. We're fighting for your life.
You know, when you're making a shirt and you've got to worry about all those different things,
like material and dyes and stitches and buttons, and the collar and the cuffs and the label and buttonholes and seams and pockets, and the cut and the style and the fit. There's a lot of ways to miss. But when making shirts is what you've been doing for as long as the Arrow Shirt Company, you don't miss. Which is why it's hard to miss with Arrow. Arrow makes shirts that look good, feel good, and fit good, from the collar to the tail. Shirts that look like today, but don't look like yesterday a month after you bought them. Shirts that are worth exactly what they cost, button for button and stitch for stitch. Shirts. That's what Arrow makes and sells more of than anybody else.
It's hard to miss with Arrow. Arrow shirts.
Arrow, America's shirt maker.
Mr. Flaxman Lowe has proved and demonstrated that the shining man in Connor Oldhouse was not supernatural, that he wasn't a ghost. When is a ghost not a ghost? All I know is that fungus-swathed corpse, desiccated and decayed, but still propped upright in its narrow tomb, will haunt me the rest of my life. Our cast included Bob Caliban, Morgan Fairchild, Ralph Bell, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by General Electric Citizen Band Radios and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Save at Northwest Federal, they have lots of ways to thank you. There's a Fun with Plants program from plant specialist Ginny Beatty, where you get lots of free plant idea pages. There's a special club that encourages kids to save, and a club for senior savers as well. And if you save $250 or more at any Northwest Federal Savings Center, now through April the 18th, you can choose a gift free or for a special low price. Gifts to let you know that spring is on the way. Like a True Temper lawn rake, a Burgess Fluidic sprinkler to help shape up your lawn, a Structo barbecue grill for cookouts, or an Alumilite folding table for all those picnics you're planning. They have lots of other gifts and many more ways to thank you. And when you visit your nearby Northwest Federal Savings Center, pick up a free thanks button in one of many different languages. It's just another thanks you can take with you.
Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
CBS News, a hijacked Spanish airliner has been refueled in Warsaw, Poland. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. There are still about 21 people on the hijacked Iberia Airlines plane, which has been flying around Africa and Europe.
The truth about their lives, the more we are faced with the possibility that those politicians and TV shows are quite wrong. In fact, the most dangerous place for women may well be their own homes. And the violent individuals there may be less often muggers and strangers than they are the women's own husbands or lovers. This is a problem just beginning to surface. The final...
What is wrong with
her? She's having her ears pierced in the
Miss, could we have some arbitration here, please?
Without a prescription, you'd have to ask the manager, but he ran home for a meatloaf sandwich.
Let's wait for the meatloaf to come.
Time makes everything more interesting, including you.
The National Transportation Safety Board has begun 3 days of hearings on the February 4th L crash that killed 11 people and injured about 200 others. First to testify at today's hearing was the motorman of the derailed train. And Diane Abt has that report.
Motorman Stephen Martin testified he never got that steady red signal which would have prohibited him from moving his train into the danger area. Martin's attorney, Sherwood Levin, claims the testimony of Ross Frankie, motorman of the Ravenswood train, clearly shows he had been driving at excessive speed around the Lake Street curve, which might have caused that train to derail prior to the accident. That derailment, says Levin, would have stopped the safety system in Martin's train from working properly.
If you'll remember, the rule said that a motorman shall not apply the brakes in a turn, or is entering a turn. And Mr. Frankie obviously applied very heavy braking, 3 points of brake in the turn. And that, coupled with the speed, could have thrown the train off the track and back.
Is the CTA trying to frame your client?
I think frame is a strong word. I think they're trying to cast blame everywhere except with the CTA.
Stephen Martin will continue his testimony when the hearings resume. This is Diane Apt.
And the safety board will hear the testimony of 20 witnesses who were involved in the accident. A power failure in the Daly Center jammed several elevators today. Building Superintendent Elmer Hallberg comments.
There were 20 elevators stuck. Out of the 20, I have been informed by my own people and the elevator service people that there were 4 elevators that had people in it.
31 people were aboard those 4 elevators that stopped between floors. On one of the elevators, workmen had to break through a wall to rescue the occupants. One minor injury was reported. The power failure was caused by a faulty fuse in the elevator tower on top of the building. The WBBM News Time, 9 minutes after 10.
Harry, look what came in the mail for you.
What is it?
A pink perfumed letter from Gloria June.
Oh, boy.
You son of a gun.
Oh, wow.
She accepted your proposal.
You think?
Yeah, open it.
No, I can't open it.
Why not?
Gloria June didn't use an Easter seal.
So what?
People have got to understand they just can't send a letter without an Easter seal.